The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
To me. How you doing, America? I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome to Hour 2 here on the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. We're live nationwide and we're streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. In this hour, co-hosting, you might say, my buddy Mark Levine. He sits in for me. He's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of the show's, and he also has his own show called The Inside Scoop. Out of Washington, D.C., he broadcasts daily, a podcast every day, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Check it out. Check out his website. And The Inside Scoop serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. He's an ex-congressional attorney. He served on the Democrats on both the Homeland Security Committees and the Judiciary Committee. He's not only able to understand and explain how Washington really works, he actually fought in some of the great battles of the early Bush administration. And it's a pleasure to have him with us tonight in this hour. And this is somewhat in his beyond in his backyard. He actually lives in this state. You know, something funny happened. Not funny, but ironic. The other day, somebody tweeted me and said, Leslie, are you going to talk about the decision to make April Confederate History Month? And I said, yeah, I got a whole month to talk about it. And I give you my word, I promise we will do that. And we're certainly going to do that in this hour. This has happened numerous times in the state of Georgia, and not History Month, Confederate History Month. But what has happened is that Confederate flag flies. And there are so many people that are Yankees, such as myself, originally from Boston, that know our history, and we know that the Confederacy lost. Sorry. And we also know our history well enough to know that the Civil War was an embarrassment, a blemish on the soul of the United States of America. Brother slay brother. It was disgusting to have a civil war. We work hard to keep Iraq from having a civil war, and have for years. And how many lives have we lost doing that, and how much money have we spent? The Civil War is an embarrassment. The Confederacy lost. We are one country. We are not two. We're not divided into North and South, and slavery was abolished a long time ago. And by the way, check it out. We got a Civil Rights Amendment that was passed. All men are created equal, and women. And at least in the United States of America, that's somewhat true for the most part, or at least it should be. I am a white person. I am from the Northeast. I am a Yankee. I am proud that my side of the country won in the Civil War. But I don't need what I have seen. I remember one time I was going on a Magnolia Mansion tour in Georgia, and when I was going on this with my mom, because she wanted to see some of these antebellum mansions, this woman had, no joke, a mannequin that looked like her grandpappy in his Confederate uniform. I don't take it that far. I never understand why people who lost a war display so much bloody stuff from that war. You lost. Let it go. Move on. That's what I believe we should do. Move on. We've got to move on. We've got to move on because this is not a country of North and South and East and West. And if we continue to be divided, divided we will fall. United we stand. As cliche as that is, it is a reality. To be the United States of America, to have that wonderful First Amendment that allows us to have our differences and our beliefs and the right to protect us in those differences and those beliefs, we have got to, if we don't accept, at least respect the different colors in our beautiful rainbow in this nation and our different cultures, ethnicities, and religious beliefs. It's part of the beauty of America. One of the ugly things about America, I believe, is the Civil War. Certainly an ugly thing about America, slavery. racism, prejudice imposed upon the black people, African Americans of this country for hundreds of years, and still very much to this day. We have sitting in the White House the first biracial, first African American president in the United States of America. How dare anyone want to have a Confederate History Month? Now, hear me out. I know there are going to be people that say, Leslie, there is a Holocaust Remembrance Month. Leslie, there is a African American History Month, right? African American History Month. Leslie, why shouldn't there be a Confederate History Month? Well, I understand the right to do it. I do. But how far does this go? Do we have a female Remembrance Month? How about a Christian Remembrance Month? A Jewish Remembrance Month? And you might say, oh, you have the Holocaust. That's not just about Jews. Half of the people that died that were Jews, the other half were not. Then, of course, you have Muslim History Month. Then you have Mexican History Month, Polish History Month, Thai History Month, Laotian, Chinese, Canadian, Irish, French. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where the hell does it stop? Now, you might say, well, the Confederates honor religion, the Confederates honor race, and the Confederates aren't an ethnicity. Exactly! The Confederates were a group of people that fought on the southern side of this country, divided in half by a line of not only belief and demarcation geographically, but that lost that fight. And when they lost that fight, the Confederates, when they lost that fight, in my opinion, you put down the flag. How do you feel when you see a swastika? That was on the flag of the Nazi regime. They lost. Bury the flag. It's not just a symbol that offends Jews. It's a symbol that's very distasteful, very ugly, and a symbol that's very offensive to so many. So why is it that we can't let go of this damn Confederate flag and this damn Confederate meaning and these damn Confederate symbols, whether they're on T-shirts or stickers on pickup trucks? There was a guy that came to my house to fix a TV, and he had a huge Confederate flag on his shirt, and I thought, oh, Lord, he should not be in this house. Okay? I've adopted some from Pakistan. My husband's Indian Pakistani, and I got brown people here. And my mother-in-law, who wears a hijab, was sitting in the living room, sitting in the TV room where he was coming to fix the TV. I thought, this man is not going to be a happy camper. Actually, I was wrong. He was a nice guy. But I'm sure when he got back into his truck, he was maybe angry of that belief. Now, the reason we talk about this, if you haven't heard, and you should have, it was all over the news, whether you read the Washington Post, you go online, you watch TV, or you listen to radio, which you should. The governor, Robert F. McDonnell, revived a controversy that actually had been dormant for, 8 years. And he declared that the month of April will be Confederate History Month in the state of Virginia. Now, this has certainly angered many civil rights leaders. Political observers say this strengthens his position with his conservative base. A big, big surprise, a politician doing this just for political gain. But much like last hour, we talked about corporations doing something just for their gain, and it happened to be miners' lives being lost for the greed and lining of the pockets of major corporations like the Massey Corporation. In this hour, let's talk about how far politicians should go and how far this politician is going and how wrong this is when you think about not only the people of Virginia, but throughout this country, even our own president, and how offensive this is for Governor Robert F. McDonnell to do. The two previous governors, who were Democrats, refused to issue this mostly symbolic proclamation, right? Honoring the soldiers who fought for the South in the Civil War. It's over! It's an embarrassment to our country. You lost. Let's move on. You can have a monument. I don't mind that. Confederate Soldiers Monument. We have monuments to those who fought in Korea, like my dad fought. We have monuments to those who fought in Vietnam, like my uncle fought. We have monuments to those who fought in World War I and World War II. That is not a problem for me. But if we're going to have Confederate History Month in Virginia, then where is the History Month for those Vietnam vets and for those Korean vets and World War II, et cetera, et cetera? Let me bring in my buddy, Mark Levine. Mark, you live in the state of Virginia.
I do.
And you're a white guy and you're a Jewish guy.
And okay. I'm a Southern guy. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. I grew up.
Oh, my God. They have Jews in Tennessee, Mark?
Civil War.
They have Jews in Tennessee? Don't tell people in Tennessee that.
My family's been in the South 100 years, actually.
Okay. So you're a Southern boy. You live in Virginia. You're a white guy. You're a Jewish guy. What are you and what are your neighbors? What are your peeps in the hood of Virginia saying about this decision by your governor, McDonald?
Well, we knew when he was elected, obviously I didn't vote for him, that he had this history. This is a guy who came out of what was then called the Christian Broadcasting Network Law School. It's Pat Roberts Law School, now called Regents. We knew he was a right-winger. But we didn't know he was this far on the right wing. Look, Governor Allen, you might remember, he was running for president. He was our governor back in the 90s. He's the one who started this thing. He's known as the Macaca Governor because a young Virginian-born boy who happened to be of Indian-American heritage and therefore had dark skin was filming him, and he called him Macaca, which is a dirty word for people are dark-skinned, and that kind of ended his presidential campaign. Anyway, Governor Allen began this tradition back in the 90s. Now, the successive Republican governor continued the tradition of Confederate History Month, but at least he added an apology for slavery. Thank you very much. And you were right. The two Democratic governors that followed just got rid of it. When Governor McDonald was asked, when he issued the proclamation, why he didn't include something mentioning for slavery, he gave a very interesting response. He said it wasn't significant. This is a direct quote. He said, there were any number of aspects to that conflict between the states. Obviously, it involved slavery. It involved other issues. But I focused on the ones I thought were most significant for Virginia.
What?
So according to Governor McDonald, slavery wasn't that significant. Wasn't a big deal.
Not that bad. Only dealt with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people's lives. Not that bad.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Now, I'll tell you, Leslie, I do have a slight disagreement with you. I'm okay with designating, maybe not Confederate History Month, but I would call it Civil War History Month. I do think it was a
I'm with you there,
war.
But much, I'm with you. I'm with you there, but there's a guy on Twitter that said, Leslie, why not Unity Month to memorialize and honor the things that unite this country? There's more than one war, and I'm sorry, but the Civil War was an embarrassment to this country. It did not do good for this country. It was a very bad and sad and dark time of this country, an embarrassment, in my opinion, to this country.
Well, it did do good. The fighting
in the long run,
it was
yes.
very good. It ended slavery. It brought this country together. I think it's important for people to study the Civil War because many of the same things that were then are still now. You still find a lot of people. In fact, Governor McDonald largely issued this proclamation to support the people who still think of the Confederacy. So I think we have to understand this period in American history. I have no problem studying it. I do have a huge problem honoring Confederate soldiers and not mentioning slavery.
I also have a hard time not honoring the non-Confederate soldiers.
The Union.
Right, the Union won. Yukon Jack, baby. We are going to take a break. We'll be back. I'm Leslie Marshall, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And you know what, as a politician, don't you want everybody's votes? You know what? You just pissed off the entire African-American voter population pool when some of them are and a lot of people are leaping from the Democratic Party in every state to being independents as well as in the Republican Party. So if you want the independent vote, wouldn't it be smarter, instead of being racist, wouldn't it be smarter to not just speak to the people that can't remember and don't like to remember and wish they had won the war, the Civil War, and they didn't in the South, but talk about Virginia as a unity, a state of unity. And it's 2010. Civil War was when? Please. I mean, please. We've had so many wars since then. Now, we can't let that one go. Why can't they let it go? Racism. That's my opinion. We'll be back. 888-6-LESLIE. You know what? Sore losers. They can't let it go. It's like Republicans who still bash Bill Clinton. He won. Twice. Despite Monica in the blue dress. Let it go. I'm Leslie Marshall. Pick up the phone and join us. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. What do you think about the state of Virginia declaring April as Confederate History Month? How does that sit with you? Or maybe it doesn't. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Go to our website. You can check out my TV appearances. I was on America's Nightly Scoreboard last night. If you missed it, check it out. I hope it'll be there. We'll take a break.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE. Want to listen to Leslie while you're surfing the web? Visit www.lesliemarshallshow.com and click on the Hear Leslie microphone to hear the show streaming.
And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. My buddy Mark Levine is in the house. We are talking about the governor of Virginia, McDonnell. Talking about slavery not being significant enough to mention. That's disgusting. And also his proclamation that irks civil rights leaders and many, you don't have to be a civil rights leader, that April will be Confederate History Month in the state of Virginia. What do you say about that, America? 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Let's go to Gary in Amherst. Hi, Gary. Good evening.
Hey, Leslie. How you doing?
Good.
I was saying,
Wait a minute. Do we still have Gary's theme? Oh, don't whisper, Mark. Mark's like, no, I don't. like as if everybody can hear him. When he's talking,
everything disappears sooner or later.
Gary, everything disappears. See?
I was telling
we
Mark,
still love you.
I thought April was Nazi Heritage Month. Uh-huh. It's going to interfere with the celebration of Hitler's accomplishments. I can't imagine what that governor was thinking when he proposed that. I guess he apologized for what he proposed and then changed it to broaden it or something.
Hey, by the way, none of us have mentioned, Mark, Gary, you just came on. Virginia, if my history serves me correct, I haven't looked this up yet, but I loved history. I remember a lot. Virginia was not a willing participant in the Civil War. Weren't they forced into it because the North wanted a state to fight against the Confederacy?
No. Virginia did willingly choose to join the Confederate cause. They happened to be one of the last states to join. In fact, Robert E. Lee was more loyal to his state, Virginia, than to the nation, which is why he led the cause somewhat unwillingly. But Virginia not only joined the cause, but the northern and western parts of Virginia got so mad at the rest of Virginia that they broke away because
Hello,
of the
West
war,
Virginia.
And they became West Virginia.
Yeah, so they should have stayed. They may not be as poor and have as many money problems. Gary, Gary, go ahead, sweetie.
Well, I think it's a mistake for the state of Virginia or any southern state to focus attention on, as you called it, an embarrassment. They lost. They fought a war that certainly there were many issues in that war. Probably slavery wasn't the initial issue, but ultimately became the defining issue as far as American common knowledge is concerned. And that's what it's associated with. And to dredge it up now is some type of badge of honor, I think, is sad to see that happening.
It is very sad. And also because you have to, I'm sorry, when somebody might say, you're judging, and I'll be honest, I'm a talk show host, absolutely. but when we talk about this governor, the remarks he has made about slavery show his true colors and his feeling toward people of color. Gary, hang on if you have more to say. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with you, with our guest Mark Levine, and with me, your host Leslie Marshall, right after this. I hope you'll join us. 888-6-LESLIE.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE. Sign up for our free newsletter. Go to www.lesliemarshallshow.com.
And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back to the only true democracy in talk radio of for by you the people, live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. We are talking about April in the state of Virginia being Confederate History Month. Some people say, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. It is a very big deal. There are many people that told me the fall of America will not be about money, will not be about politics, but will be about racism if we don't get things right and have some harmony and unity racially in this nation. And that's true. How we took these people from Africa in chains on ships, treating them worse than we treat an animal. And they were human beings. We broke apart families. These people were beaten. They had no freedoms. They were raped, impregnated, and their children never cared for by their rapist, usually their boss, their plantation owner. This happened for hundreds of years. This is a disgrace to our country. The Confederate flag for so many, especially those of color, especially those descendants of those slaves, represents that to them. Have we no shame and have we no respect for our fellow American to say enough is enough? What is wrong with this governor? What is wrong with your governor, Mark? Let's let Gary finish his point. Gary, go ahead there in Amherst.
Yes, Leslie, I was just going to say that although a lot, I don't think any of the civil rights murders occurred in Virginia. It was the capital of the Confederacy. It is associated with the Confederacy. It carried on for over 100 years after the Civil War. People were still being lynched and killed over this issue of race and equality that I think the Civil War became a, you know, symbolic of those issues. And anyone who doesn't appreciate that and thinks they can just stand up and say, you know, let's celebrate this tragic part of our history is, I just think, wrong.
I agree with you there. Okay, thank you, Gary.
Okay,
thank you. Good talking to you, sweetie. We miss you. You know that. Let's go to Jeff in Santa Barbara. Hi, Jeff. Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. How you doing?
Hi, doing great. First off, as a historian, I wanted to correct one thing, and I know you. I totally agree with the point you were making about the swastika, but we often forget that it is actually a very religious symbol to Hindus. So
actually, no, it's the inverted.
Not everybody
it's
a, looks
no,
at
it is not. It's an inverted Hindu symbol. Inverted.
That's true. It is inverted. You are correct there. But that wasn't what I wanted to say. I anytime the Nazis are brought up, I cringe a little bit as a historian. But as a historian, as somebody with a master's degree in history, I find it very problematic anytime we have anything that is one-sided history. But as an American, what we are talking about honoring is a group of people who decided they no longer wanted to be Americans,
right,
and wanted to go to war with America. We don't fly the flags. We don't honor the Japanese or the Vietnamese or the Germans or the British or anybody we have gone to war with in that way. And it is ridiculous that we would honor the Confederacy in that way.
You know, I'd like to, I guess, add my two cents as a Southerner.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
I certainly am very upset with the McDonald's Proclamation, not including slavery and so forth. I think, though, if you haven't been born and raised in the South, you might not understand some of, there's a perspective in the South of a certain regional pride. And I guess sometimes it's hard for non-Southerners to understand that because the South was beaten badly in the Civil War, and because for a long time thereafter the South was poor, less educated than the rest of the United States, there's a chip on Southern shoulders. And frankly, I think we see a lot of that in the Tea Party. And I guess I understand the chip, even if I don't justify it, and I don't mean to justify it. For many Southerners, the Confederate flag is a symbol of their pride in their region, much as people might fly a state flag. And I think they're wrong not to see how an African-American sees that symbol. I certainly think they're wrong, and they're insensitive, but you've got to understand that there are Southerners that don't even recognize, don't even see it as insensitive. I want to open their eyes. I want them to see it for what it is. But I guess I understand. Listen, the Confederate memorials throughout the South, in Tennessee, in Virginia, this was a population that for 100 years and even today hasn't forgotten that war. So, again, where I disagree with Leslie is not in the mention of slavery. We've got to mention that. But I do think the war needs to be taught. We need to tell it from all perspectives.
Right, absolutely, but all perspectives are not being taught and represented if you have a Confederate History Month as opposed to a Civil War Remembrance Month. And by the way, if you're going to do Civil War Remembrance Month, then you got to throw a bone, if you will, to the vets of the Vietnam War, the Korean War, Persian Gulf War 1 and 2, or Operation Rescue, Afghanistan, Iraq, World War 1, World War 2. I mean, please.
If I
guess I disagree with you. I would argue there are only two wars in American history that really changed our identity as a nation. One's the Revolutionary War, one's the Civil War. The other wars we fought were important. I want to remember those veterans. But I would argue that the identity of America can pretty much be described in those two wars, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. I think those two wars are more important than any other wars we fought.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I just want to say, yes, I completely understand that the Confederacy is such a part of the South. But you know, you used the Nazi and analogy earlier. That was such a part of Germany at that point. You cannot show a swastika in Germany anymore. You cannot be a member of a Nazi group, where there are people who are members of Confederate groups in the South. And if you compare those two that are such a part of the area's history, yet they have treated it so differently, and it has served Germany very well to push it away, where I think it is serving the South very poorly to hang on to it so strongly in many ways. But you are right. It is very much a part of that Southern history and a part of what those people believe in. And those views are very hard to change.
It's really weird, because being from Boston, a true Yankee, in the Yankee side of the Civil War, which we won, I have no desire to hold on to it. I've moved on. It happened before I was born, and all the people that were part of it are dead. Marky Mark, my producer, had something to say. Mark?
I was just saying to Chris off air, you know, I was asking him, like, don't you think it's more openly accepted if someone, you know, has a part of a Confederate, you know, history group or whatever? But the thing that really rang true for me is, how would you react if you saw someone driving and they had a small little, like, sticker of a Confederate flag in the back of their window versus if you saw them and they had a swastika? I mean, to me, my reaction would be much stronger. I still see people with the little Confederate flag stickers, and I'm thinking, what an idiot, or something like that. But if I saw a swastika,
honestly,
I would, like, call the police.
Honestly, it's terrible,
but something.
I'm being honest. When I see a Confederate flag in the back of somebody's car, and I know some of you listening to me have that on your pickup or your car, you know, I think, sorry, dumb hillbilly.
Well, I do too, but that still doesn't make me vile or just react as strongly as if I saw a swastika.
I have an embarrassing admission to
but,
make.
But Mark, you're not black.
Don't tell me you don't have a Confederate
flag
on your truck,
Mark. Mark, you're not black.
Who are you talking to? Which Mark?
Marky Mark.
Oh, okay.
You're not black. I'm not black. Mark Levine's not black. Jeff, are you in Santa Barbara black?
I am not.
Okay, I'm saying that we don't understand
that's fair.
What it feels like for a black man or a black woman to sit behind a car that has a Confederate sticker on that truck of their car. Some of them feel fear, and I know this because I've had programs on the Confederate flag every time they wanted to, you know, have it at the Capitol in Georgia. And I'm telling you, we don't understand the perspective from a black, in the point of view of a black individual, that perspective, because we are not black. We can't understand it. Even if it's explained to us, we can't fully empathize and understand that situation.
Wait, Mark, let Jeff go ahead. There's a very big problem, and I see it. It's what's happening in Texas with their change standards in education. And like I said, I'm a historian. I just got my teaching credential in history and social science. And it is a problem with the perspective of how it's taught. If we are having a Confederate History Month, we are not teaching the well-rounded, the all sides of history that we need to teach in order to have perspective, which is what teaching is.
And speaking of, let us not forget that in the Civil War and in World War II, blacks fought. Blacks fought for the Confederacy and for the Union, but blacks were not paid. Blacks were ordered and commanded to fight by the Southerners, by the Confederates who wanted to break off, as you said so aptly so, Jeff. And in addition to that, when you talk about history, we weren't taught. I wasn't taught about it. I didn't learn until I think there was a movie with Denzel Washington that came about the African Americans that fought in World War II. And they had to have a separate, if you will, you know, group of military simply because whites didn't want anything to do with them. There were Japanese Americans that fought against the Japanese in World War II. They have things in San Francisco every year for those that are survived or the ancestors of those people. So you're right, Jeff. We don't treat history right. And to me, having it so one-sided And from the man, Mark, this is your governor, Mark Levine. I think you would agree.
Right.
It's not just the message. It is the messenger here.
Well, I think it is, and I think his comment about slavery not being significant was incredibly insensitive, and he actually had to modify the proclamation just yesterday. But I have an embarrassing admission to make, and it relates to Mark's point about the difference between the swastika and the Confederate flag. Here's the embarrassing admission. Here goes. My own mother, who's a very sweet woman, and actually I'm very proud of the fact that my family from Tennessee was very active in the civil rights movement. But when my mother went to college, she went to college, University of Michigan, she brought up, it's amazing to me now, it's amazing to her now, but she brought up to her college a Confederate flag and posted it on the dorm room wall, not at all because she's racist, but because she saw it as a point of Southern pride. Now, she knows better now. She did this when she was 18. She would never do such a thing again. She knows how insensitive it is to black people. But it shows how even my own mother, and again, my family was out there
registering
blacks in Mississippi in the 60s, there was a time when a lot of white Southerners didn't think, and callously didn't think, about what the symbols mean. I think today in 2010, anyone who flies a Confederate flag either is a racist or, frankly, should know better.
Yeah.
But there was a time when I think people didn't know better, and I include...
Or as fat has a shaved head, a pickup truck is unemployed and called Bubba. I mean, that's the reality. Jeff, thank you for your call. We're going to take a break, Mark. Hang tight. We will take a break. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. We're one country now. The worst thing we can do, you know what? When we do these things, we are playing into the hands of our enemies, whether it's terrorists, whoever. They're sitting back and they're saying they're going to destroy themselves, man. We don't have to take down any more towers. They're doing it to themselves. This is an example of that, symbolically, if nothing else. I'm Leslie Marshall. Stick around. 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543. Your calls right after this. My buddy Mark Levine is in the house with me tonight. I hope you'll join us.
President Obama's bringing hope back to America, but Leslie Marshall's bringing sexy back to politics. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE. Can't believe she said that? Check out what else she said. www.lesliemarshallshow.com.
Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. Only True Democracy in Talk Radio of four by you, the people, live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Governor Robert F. McDonnell of Virginia has proclaimed that Confederate History Month is the month of April. This obviously has gotten a lot of people angry, especially because this comes from a guy that said, quote, slavery wasn't significant enough to mention. How can it not be significant enough? Does he not know his own history? Mark Levine is our guest. Let's take some calls, and we go to Brian in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Brian. Good evening.
Hi, Leslie. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, pleasure to have you, Brian. Good evening.
I just wanted to say that the thing with the West Virginia jokes, you got to lighten up, because they did move or secede from Virginia for a reason. Well, I grew up in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. The education system is top-notch. We're able to think. I don't think anyone in West Virginia would have a Confederate History Month. It's just, I'm not surprised at Virginia.
And do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's divisive? Do you think in 2010 it's surprising? Not that these attitudes exist, but they're willing to be so open with them, especially the governor of the state?
Well, I'm glad you said in 2010, because when I went to high school, when I graduated high school in 1982, it was from Parkersburg South High School, and the unofficial logo was the Confederate flag. Now, shortly after I graduated, they discouraged that, and it's gone away since. But back in 82, like the other gentleman was saying, we didn't know. And there was one black guy in our graduating class of 682. He got a standing ovation. we had good relationships, and it just, we didn't know.
Okay. What do you, so you're not surprised you said that it's for Virginia?
But no, no.
What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you living on the East Coast, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not that close, but not that far from Virginia, growing up in West Virginia, that this is being done by this governor? Do you just roll your eyes and say typical politics? Do you think it's extremely offensive, especially in light of the fact we have our first African-American president?
It's the way it is in Virginia. There are parts of Virginia down in the valley that are far more, it's like stepping back 100 years. They're far more backward, both economically and thinking, than their West Virginia cousins.
Mark, what do you say? Mark, I guess Mark Levine lives in Virginia.
I do. I actually very much agree with the caller. I live in Northern Virginia, which any Virginian will tell you is part of metropolitan Washington, D.C. I live just across the river from the nation's capital, and I broadcast from there. And I think most of us in Northern Virginia think of us as part of Washington, and most people in the southern part of Virginia think of us as part of Washington. But we are still part of the state, and you can go an hour outside where I live into the Shenandoah Valley, and it's just littered with memorials to Stonewall Jackson, to the Confederacy. In my own town of Alexandria, Virginia, right there in the Central Square, there is a memorial to the Confederate soldiers that died. So this is still a real history to a whole bunch of America. Maybe not in Boston, but I guarantee you in the South, people still think about the Civil War, which is why I want to teach it. And I want to teach it with all perspectives, definitely including the perspectives of the slaves, but I don't want to pretend that we're past it, because I still think a lot of these issues, issues of states' rights, issues of slavery, issues of racism, issues of white people not respecting a black person in power, these issues we still face today, and I think the Civil War and Reconstruction and Jim Crow and all of that has to be taught. So again, I'm okay with teaching the history. I just don't want to praise the Confederate side. I think we need to teach all perspectives.
But I don't think having a history month, whether it's Confederate, Civil War, history of war, is teaching. I don't think many people, unless they go to a movie or an exhibit during Holocaust Remembrance Month or African American History Month, I don't think most people learn anything unless they partake of something offered during that month historically.
Leslie, you had said earlier that
go ahead, Brian.
You had said earlier we have to have a month for everybody, and it's just this whole political correctness thing is so big, and Virginia is about 10, 15 years behind on that.
Well, I'm with you not on that necessarily because I don't know that. I hear you guys, and I trust your opinions and expertise, you know, being from the area, living in the state. What bothers me is, when the hell can we be Americans? Why do we have to be so divisive? I mean, I'm a liberal Democrat, but for crying out loud, I have friends that are Republicans. It's not like I can't break bread with somebody who has a political ideology that differs from mine and varies from mine. And I don't understand why we constantly have to do things in this country to remind us of things that are bad, to remind us of things that are a blemish to this country. You know, when we're trying to be America, it is, to me, to honor. And I'm not talking about the people that fought. The Confederacy were not just the soldiers. There were many people, hello, the Chicken Gone with the Wind, for example, is a character based on many types of women in the South at that time. These individuals wanted to break off from the United States, and they were fighting the United States. They wanted to break off from the union of these states, and they lost in that attempt. You know, I'm sorry, Hitler wanted to, break off and take over from Europe. Japan wanted to take over and have, and was promised by Hitler, if they won the world war together, Japan would have the United States, and, you know, Hitler wanted Europe. We should not honor, and I'm not saying the military that fought, because some of those people didn't have a choice, but I just don't think that we honor a time in our country, although a lot of good did result, I agree with you there, Mark, that was so bad and so divisive, when we're at a time that we can't afford to be divisive going forward into the future. We have no more time in this hour. Brian, thank you. Mark Levine, thank you. I'm Leslie Marshall. I've got 10 seconds, so we're going to take a break.
Leslie Marshall, when the truth matters. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE. The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio, of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
Good evening, America. I'm Leslie Marshall, coming at you live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. We are the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. And we hope you, the people, will join us tonight in this hour. Mark Levine, my buddy and host of The Inside Scoop. You can check out his program. He broadcasts live out of Washington, D.C., and we're going to talk with him. We'll talk with him in this hour. He's been joining the past couple hours, and he's actually going to sit in with me, for 1 hour tomorrow night. He's a good friend, a great talk host, a former attorney, or is an attorney, but former practicing attorney. And we're going to talk in this hour about Tiger Woods. No, I'm not doing a showbiz tonight hour on my show tonight. Tiger Woods, I think a lot of people were completely blown away and surprised that this guy acted this way. After all, we just didn't think of him that way. We saw him with his mother and his father. We saw him interested in this cute little blonde who he married, had two children. He had the American dream, beyond the American dream. He had the green jacket numerous times. Money, success, and power. Power has led many a man to another woman's bed, or cigar. Bill Clinton, John Edwards, Elliot Spitzer, Vitter, Larry Craig attempting to. Now, I'm not putting all these people in the same basket. Tiger Woods is not a politician. Now, for some people out there, they were so upset when this happened because they're like, Tiger Woods is a role model. He's a role model. He's somebody kids look up to. Well, certainly, right? Part Asian, part African-American. Certainly, the African-American community, it's not like you have a heck of a lot of black golfers out there. So this is a kid who was pushed very hard by his dad, and it paid off for him. Psychologists would argue maybe he was pushed too hard, and this is how he rebelled. Maybe he did it because, like former President Clinton said, because he could. And I think that's true for many men. I've always felt, and I said it when this first came out, that this is a private matter. This is a matter between Tiger and his wife. Yes, we find out because he's a celebrity. And I was actually very surprised. At first, if you remember, sponsors did not drop him. And in the beginning, I didn't think they should drop him. As a matter of fact, I never thought they should drop him, any of his sponsors. Because this is a private matter. And because Tiger Woods is not a leader in the moral majority. He's a golfer. He's a great golfer. He's one of, if not the best golfers that we have ever seen in this country. And some people would say in the history of golf. I'm not a golfer, not a fan, find it boring. But I know that those of you who golf or watch him or are a Tiger fan would agree that how despicable his private life actions, choices, etc. were. He's a golfer. He's a great golfer. And the different companies that sponsored him because he was a great golfer. They didn't sponsor him because, and they sponsored him, many of these companies, he wasn't married. Did they think he was a priest sitting home, playing Scrabble at night with his parents? I mean, I'm sure there was a life before his wife, and a sexual life perhaps before his wife, I would imagine. So when all these sponsors broke away, I have to say I really respected and I admired Nike for staying. Because Nike knew something that most of us speculated somewhere in our brains that Tiger would play again. The Masters today is an example of that. The Tiger would play well. This would not hurt his game. No, he may not be number one at last check, but he's playing damn well, right? The Tiger's very young and has a very long, long career, if he chooses, ahead of him. That Tiger and his wife are actually working through this problem. She has chosen to stay with him. They have chosen, obviously, what's best in the best interest of their children and of their family. And I really respect and commend them for that. That is a hard, hard thing to do, to forgive, because you can never forget. And to try and patch it up and to work through it and move forward and be able to trust him again. As a woman, I say that very hard. But one thing has always bothered me. I'm going to tell you a true story. Years ago, and I won't mention the guy's name, I actually just saw him in New York a couple weeks ago. And I really like him, too. He's a nice guy. But when I was starting in my talk career, and I was knowing a station I was on going to change formats, I was going to lose a job, or I lost a job, I had certain people I would call. And this guy was one of them because he was in New York, number one, the number one market in the radio market in the United States, a place I aspired to get to and to be nationally syndicated like I am now and was before 92 and 95 when I replaced Tom Snyder. But at the time, when I was like looking for a job, I had certain people, you might say, not on speed dial. We didn't have speed dial then. This is, now I'm sounding like a dinosaur, right? But I would call this guy and he would not take my calls. He wouldn't take my calls. Okay. Years later, I was nationally syndicated. It was 1995, I think, the third year of my syndication. I had replaced Tom Snyder at ABC. Everybody like, who this girl in her 20s replacing Tom Snyder? I couldn't believe I got the job. They were talking to some much bigger names, not only in talk, but some celebrity names. And they took a chance on me. And I thanked them for that. And it was an incredible opportunity. And I grew. And I think I did a very good job. At the time, I did my best. And I remember being at a convention in Los Angeles at the Westin Bonaventure Hotel. That's the hotel that they shot The Fugitive in. It's got the big, you know, round spiral glass towers and the elevators, glass elevators going up and down. You see Clint Eastwood running through that hotel. Anyway, I remember a very lovely hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Not as lovely now, a little dated. But so I was walking and all of a sudden I hear, Leslie, Leslie. And I turn around. And who was it but the guy from New York? This is a guy who would never return my phone calls. At that time, he was out of work. He had lost his job, and he wanted to talk to me. Me, who he'd never take the phone call off. Now, he did not take my phone call because he's a mean person. He didn't take my phone call because I wasn't a big enough name. He didn't have anything for me, no reason to talk to me. But now that he had no work and he had all the time in the world and I was on top, in a sense, in my career at the time, he wanted to talk to me. I live in Los Angeles. I have friends that have been celebrities. And I say that because when they had their TV show that was running, you know, for years, they were a celebrity. But, you know, it's gone now. And a lot of people might say, I remember that person by face, not necessarily by name, etc. But one thing I've always learned throughout my career, throughout this country, certainly living in Los Angeles, is when you're on top, everyone else says, when you're on top, everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants to know you. People you went to high school with that never spoke to you or your best friend on Facebook and inviting you to things and show pictures of you and them, yet they may have snubbed you then. Everybody wants relatives you never knew you had ask you for money. I'm not a big celebrity by any means. I'm not a celebrity at all. But I do work on national radio and on television, so I'm perceived differently by some people I've known throughout my life and people I've never known. Now, the reason I say that, I am in no way in the league, anywhere near the league, even the league of the heel of Tiger Woods. I want to be clear. So I want you to think, what, is Lily smoking, you know, some crack there and not realizing how small she is in this fishbowl? I do. I'm simply saying one thing that's always bothered me is how people flock to you when you're on top and how people bail when you're not. I'm going to give you a really crazy example. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had people, and I've been to Israel, and if you've been to Israel, and if you actually walk, you know, the path, you know, because I love history, and this is part of history, And, you know, whether you believe he's the Messiah, the son of God, a nice guy, carpenter's son, performed a bunch of miracles, a magician, lunatic, whatever you believe. There were thousands and thousands of people. That thing with the fish and the loaves, that happened. That happened that day. There are records of it. And the amount of miles these people would walk to follow this guy because he was on top. But once he got nailed to a cross, who was there? His mom. Right? Mary. And his friend, the former hooker, Mary Magdalene. Mary and Mary, right? That's who was there. So we had thousands when he was like, woohoo, turning water into wine and creating those, you know, multiple lunch snacks, little, you know, lunch packs out of the fish and the bread, a few loaves and a few fish, right? But when he needed all of those thousands, they bailed. They bailed. And that's what I feel all of these people, fans, and advertisers of Tiger Woods did. Now, I don't know him. I have nothing for him personally. I told you, I don't play golf. I don't like golf. I'm not a fan. I don't even consider it a sport. I think it's boring. But hey, he does what he does well. Very well. And they sponsored him because he did what he does well. So when he was sleeping around, they shouldn't have bailed on him. Because it wasn't going to affect his golf game. They knew he wasn't going to retire forever. I mean, please, nobody goes into therapy forever. So I'm happy that Nike chose to stick around. And I'm happy that Nike chose to do something they did. They ran an ad which didn't run from the controversy. It stared it right in the eye. One thing that crossed my mind when this came out about Tiger is I thought, what would his dad say if he were alive? And I thought somebody at Nike or at Madison Avenue was thinking the same as me. Here is the audio of the newest Nike Tiger Woods ad, smartly released the day of the Masters.
Tiger, I am more prone to be inquisitive, to promote discussion. I want to find out what your thinking was. I want to find out what your feelings are, and did you learn anything?
That's his dad, supposedly. Obviously, his dad's gone. And I just love it because it's raw, it's honest, it's real. It addresses it, and it's like, okay, let's move on. We're Nike. He's Tiger Woods. He's a golfer. He's great. We're supporting him. And how many people? You know, how many people when Tiger Woods wins another Masters, and at some point he will throughout his life, I'm sure. You don't need a crystal ball and a degree in rocket science to figure that out. He's great at what he does. These sponsors will go back and beg him because he'll be on top again. So it's like my own personal thing. You know, I can't stand. I really respect and support the people that stick around. It's so easy to go with the winner. It is so hard to stay with the winner when they're a loser, backing them until they're a winner again. And I believe Tiger Woods will be, even if he... Did the Masters finish? I don't know about golf. Did the Masters finish? Yeah, it's a few... Okay, this is how much I know about golf. Okay. So Tiger Woods could win this, correct? Okay, Tiger Woods could... I hope he does. So that Nike and Tiger can go to his sponsors. Not because I condone what he did. I don't, but I'm not married to him. You know what I mean? Because he's a great golfer. And that's what they were paying him to do. They were paying him to wear their name on his hat, on his belt, on his shirt, on his jacket, on his pants, on his little golf cart, on the golf balls, on the golf clubs, on the golf club bag, on the caddy's back. You know what I'm saying? I'm Leslie Marshall. When we come back, we'll be joined by my buddy Mark Levine. He's our guest in this hour. We'll also be joined by you. If you're holding hang tight, you want to join us, I want to hear from you. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. What did you think of Nike standing by Tiger? What did you think of his dad's voice being used, or not real voice, but what did you think of them portraying his dad asking these questions in the ad, and the ad coming out with the Masters, and Tiger getting back to the game? He is so brilliant and a master, excuse my pun, of. I'm Leslie Marshall. Pick up the phone and join me. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. That's 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We'll be back to your phone calls right after this. Don't go away.
Leslie Marshall, when the truth matters. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE.
Follow
Leslie on Twitter. Just go to www.twitter.com/Leslie Marshall, and we'll be sure to share your tweets.
I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. We're talking Tiger Woods, the ad. Marky Mark, you're checking, but you said you think that is his dad's voice from something else. I had heard that, but I was like, what else could that be from? Anyway, Earl Woods, his dad, asked his son Tiger a few questions before Tiger's return to golf. That's the new Nike commercial. Some people like it. Some people think it's stupid. Some people think it's great. It's brilliant. I'm one of them. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. Pick up the phone and join us. Mark Levine is our co-host with me in this hour. And let's go to Mark. Thank you for holding with me again. You know,
sure.
People are going to talk. We keep spending this much time together, huh?
And that's not a bad thing. I had heard, by the way, that it was his father's voice from a prior interview before he died, and that they sort of mixed the words around and remixed it to make these sentences. So it actually is his voice, and they sort of, you know, did some digital mastering to
get it. That's correct.
That's what I heard.
What I'm reading, too. I think that's exactly right.
Yes, that would sound right. And obviously, it would have to be something like that for Tiger to agree to it. Let's go to the island of Hawaii. Daily Dave joins us. Aloha, Daily. How are ya?
Aloha, Leslie. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Mark. What's going on?
You tell us.
Well, Leslie, we need to get back to the down and dirty. How long have you and I have known each other? For what, 5 or 6 years? Seven years now?
Very frightening. Yes, we have.
Yeah, I know. And I'm very frank with you. Tonight, I don't agree with anything that you're saying.
That's okay.
The professional sports comes down to bread and circus. And the only reason that any of us know Tiger Woods' name is the fact that he's a televised sports celebrity. And therefore, anything that happens in his personal life all of a sudden becomes page one dirt rag coverage. Now, I don't care who sponsors Tiger Woods. And, you know, I watch baseball. I listen to baseball quite a bit. I watch football, but I don't really care about the personal lives of the people in sports until they turn into a scumbag. And Tiger Woods made a promise to his wife that he would remain faithful. And he broke that promise many times. And his wealth and his fame were his, what's it called, a drug that makes women or makes people excited? What's it called?
Hang on, Dave. We're going to take a break. Dave, hang on. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you. Mark's going to talk to you. We will be back. I'm Leslie Marshall. My guest, Mark Levine. Got Dave in Hawaii holding. If you're holding, hang tight. Hannah, if you're not, pick up the phone and join us. What do you think of the new Tiger Woods ad with his dad's voice, Nike, released on the opening day of the Masters? I'm Leslie Marshall, 888-6-LESLIE.
Become Leslie's friend on Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com/Leslie Marshall and join her fan page.
We're back. Welcome or welcome back. This is the only true democracy in talk radio, of for, by you, the people, live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. We're talking about Tiger Woods. Masters started today. Nike kept by this guy, supported him. He and his wife are working things out, it would seem. I think it's a private matter. Nike addresses it, has an ad that we played earlier in the hour with his dad's voice. and addresses it head on, and then boom, you know, full steam ahead, you know, moves on. Let's go back to Mark Levine is joining me in this hour, my co-host, and I think you know Mark, and if not, I'll tell you a bit about him in just a moment. But we were talking with Dave in Hawaii before that. Dave, hang, thank you for joining us again. Thanks for holding. Welcome back. You were saying, we totally disagree on this. I understand he's disgusted you.
Thanks for having me back. I just need 60 seconds. If I can pick up where I left off,
sure.
His wealth, his fame, is an aphrodisiac to the people around him. And many of them were women. And the problem is that Tiger Woods made a promise.
No, it's not. Dave, it's not just his fame. I live in L.A.
Wife.
It's his bling. It's his cash. It's ka-ching. Because there's so many gold diggers out there. It's not even fun.
Right. But he made a promise to his wife.
I'm living in gold digger land.
In front of witnesses, in front of his community. And he said, I will be faithful. And he could not resist the fact that these women were throwing themselves at him, perhaps, because of his fame. And I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Well, let me ask you this. What about Bill Clinton? I know. What about Bill Clinton? What about, Dave, what about Bill Clinton?
I think he should have paid. Bill Clinton should have stepped up and said, yeah, I cheated.
I agree.
I'm going to, because it was the cover-up that busted him.
Right.
It wasn't the
right,
lie.
But you just said Tiger Woods disgusted you because he took an oath before, you know, people, wherever he got married, and he violated that oath. So many people do in the public eye. It doesn't make it right. I'm just wondering if you're as disgusted with each one of them.
Yes. When you make a promise to the person that you love, It goes beyond the presidency or a famous golfer that you should be ashamed.
Right,
of
but does that mean that you don't support him as a golfer because he was a jerk to his wife in the bedroom and out of the bedroom?
Right. That means if she can't even trust you, why should I?
Right. So my question is, and Dave, I'm playing devil's advocate to a degree, but did you vote for Bill Clinton both times?
I didn't vote for him the second time.
You didn't? Okay. Okay, well, at least you're not being a hypocrite.
Well, no, I didn't vote the second time. I voted for him the first time.
Okay.
Leslie, can I add my 2 cents here?
Absolutely, Mark.
Thank you,
Mark. I've got to tell you, and I'm sorry, Dave, I think you're great, but I disagree with you here, too. You say you feel like, the way you're describing it, Dave, it's almost like Tiger Woods broke his promise to you. And Tiger Woods didn't make his promise to you. You're right, he breached his promise to his wife. Absolutely, she has the right to be livid, to divorce him, to throw him out, whatever. That's her right. But when I see it, this was a vow to her. It wasn't a vow to us.
Yeah.
Same thing, I guess, with Bill Clinton. You know, it seems to me that we judge people for their private moral failings. I'm not saying it's a good thing what he did, but I kind of feel raw even looking at it. I feel like I'm prying my nose into other people's business. He didn't even, like Bill Clinton, he wasn't elected to anything. This is just a guy.
That's why, that's why I'm saying that it's bread and circus. That's how I open my comment. This is bread and circus, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, it is bread and circus. I just don't think it's our business. I don't think when he makes a promise to his wife that you have the right to be offended. I mean, I just disagree with you there, Dave. He didn't make it to you.
But how about what about his best man, the witnesses at his wedding?
Okay, then maybe they can be.
Yeah, but Dave, Mark brings up a good point, Dave. You're not the guy that was standing at his wedding. You're not the best man. You probably weren't invited to the wedding. I don't say that in a bad way. I'm just saying most of us probably aren't. You know, I mean, Dave, you have a right to be offended. I don't agree with Mark there. You can be, you know, you can be, believe me, as a talker, I offend many people every day, all the time. I mean, what was it, that woman that was offended by the voice of Mary Hart, who's very nice, who I've met on Entertainment Tonight, and said that it sent her into seizures and sued and lost, obviously, so frivolous and ridiculous. But, Dave, you have the right to be offended. But at the same time, I agree with Mark on this.
Why should we pay him, Tiger?
You're not paying him unless you buy Nike products. And if you don't, I'm sure the company will still survive.
And
quite
I don't
well.
Buy Nike products because they make their shoes over in Singapore in sweatshops.
And I'll be with you there. I'm with you there. I do not buy Nike products. One, I'm not very athletic. I'm more stylish than that. Two, because they do use overseas sweatshop labor.
I know, exactly.
But that has nothing to do with Tiger cheating on his wife.
I love you, Dave. I think it has everything to do with the fact that I'm going to give this man money, even though he
But you're not giving him money. You're not giving him money. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't have to work the rest of his life. He doesn't need money.
The people who buy their products, Leslie, are the ones who are giving him money.
But that's their choice. Hello, Dave. Aren't you pro-choice in every regard? Isn't that their choice?
It is their choice, but the fact is that when I buy a pair of Nike shoes, that doesn't mean, let's say, like a couple months ago with the Supreme Court decision, that I want my money to go X or I want my money to go Y. Maybe I don't agree with the fact
Dave, you are, Mark, come on,
government.
Mark, jump in here. He's now tying in the Supreme Court. I mean, Dave, I think I can, wait a minute, I think I can connect the dots between Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Iraq, and 9/11 better than the dots you just connected, all right? That's scaring me.
I mean, Dave, I mean, obviously, Leslie and I strongly disagree with the Supreme Court decision. When it happened, I was on Leslie's show railing crazily about it. My only point is this. When it comes to a personal failing of a public figure, you know, if he's elected and if he's corrupt and he's stealing money from your state, then you have absolutely every right to be livid about it. I hate corrupt politicians. I want to see them thrown out of office. But when a person has a private failing and they didn't break the law, I mean, he didn't break the law here. He's not elected to do anything. He is an imperfect human being who, I mean, I don't mind you criticizing what he did, but to me, your tone, it's almost like you're personally offended, like Tiger Woods was out to get you.
And she, I love, Mark, how you said he didn't cheat on you. I loved that.
No, but I've had a cheating spouse, okay?
We're having an Oprah Barbara Walters moment here.
Leslie, listen. Yes. Mark, listen. There was an individual like 5 years ago who sued Nike because Nike went to the Supreme Court originally and said that they had the right through freedom of speech to lie because they said that they were not making shoes in Singapore or wherever. And this fella stepped up, Joe Blow, like you and I, stepped up and said, you're lying in your commercials and you don't have the right to lie. The freedom of speech does not give you the right to lie.
Absolutely.
And that's how this whole thing ties together.
Okay, well, at least you tied it together in a bow. We're going to take a break. Are you okay?
Are you going to be on tomorrow?
Yes.
Then I'll be okay.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Dave, I'm very sorry that somebody cheated on you. It's a terrible betrayal.
Well, you already knew this. Don't drag up old stuff.
You brought it up.
But you already knew, right? Didn't you know?
You're better off. You're better off. I'm sure you went through hurt and pain, but you're better off, and we love you.
Well,
okay?
No, actually, I pissed her off.
Okay.
It was the other way around.
Dave.
Good night.
We love you. Good night. You know, Mark, you try and be nice, right? I'm trying to do a little hug through the radio. You know what I mean? Trying to do a little reassurance. We'll take a break. We will be back.
Leslie Marshall, when the truth matters. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE.
Tiger gag. Okay, and second of all, Mark, I hate how many songs? A few. Is this one of the songs I hate? Marky Mark?
That I don't know, actually, to be honest.
Oh, you are such a liar.
No, for real. I didn't know.
Don't you remember you used to play this when I was pissed years ago?
I would have celebrated it more if I knew.
when you used to get angry with me, you used to play this.
Wow,
you don't remember?
I usually remember all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we thought that I was hormonal.
I must have blocked it out.
Mark Levine, I did tell Marky Mark Grimaldi this. I did. I swear. Mark Levine, my co-host tonight. What do you think of this song? Eye of the Tiger.
I like
that
the song. So I'm with Mark on this one. Sorry, Leslie.
Gag. Mark's are ganging up on me. It's like whenever I'm on television, the conservative. It's like when I'm on TV, the conservatives gang up on me. Okay, let's go to, I can't take it. You know, some people, yeah, I remember one time it was like on Kudlow Company. Larry Kudlow. It was like Larry Kudlow, me, five conservatives, six guys, all conservatives, and honestly, all knew the issue better than me. And I thought, oh, crap. I handled it okay, but I was just like, oh, it's so unfair.
I like it.
Sometimes.
You know, I was on Bulls and Bears recently. I had five conservatives against me, and
it's always, you know, when I'm on Bulls and Bears, it's always like 5-1. And by the way, the next time you're on Bulls and Bears, you go like this. Go to Eric Bowling and say that's from Leslie Marshall.
I will do that.
I'm serious. He will blush. He will blush.
I was going to say, I feel like Luke Skywalker with the saber, and, you know, each of the people come after you one by one, you're like, bam, 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 you know, and you're fending them off one by one. I like the challenge, so I'm okay.
Oh, no, I enjoy it, but sometimes it's like, could we have one more person on my team here? let's go to Dean in Buffalo. Dean, good evening. What do you think about this, Dean?
Well, to be honest with you, I'd rather discuss the merits of Eye of the Tiger, but what the heck, why not go after the whole Tiger Woods thing. You know, I got to give credit to Tiger for doing a lot of salvaging of his reputation. I think it's really overdone. I agree with you that nobody's private life is anybody else's business but their own. I mean, the guy's an athlete just like a politician, and that's what they're paid to do, and that's all that matters is how well they can drive the golf ball or run the country.
Okay. Mark, Levine, anything to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I felt the same way with Bill Clinton. I thought it was absolutely right of you, Leslie, to bring that up. I mean, the Republicans couldn't attack him on the economy. It's the best economic times we've ever had. We had
Hell,
peace. We had
wait, Mark, couldn't attack him on the economy. Couldn't even before Monica. It's like, okay, let's go Nanny Gate, Travel Gate, Whitewater Gate. Let's imply that Hillary Rodham Clinton killed Vince Foster, even though the authorities have all concurred the man killed himself and not over her.
But that's the point. They were looking for anything, and everyone's got some human failing, and Bill Clinton's is with the ladies. And so instead of attacking him on the grounds that we elected him, they attack him on his personal grounds. And you know what? He didn't break the law. If you break the law, okay, fine. You know, I get Elliot Spitzer and the prostitute. I don't like it because I was a big fan of Elliot Spitzer. I thought he did great attacking the Wall Street people. And
did you think he should have stepped down? Did you think Mark, did you think Elliot Spitzer should have stepped down? I asked because, you know, his wife didn't.
You know what? No, I don't. Although it's a
and is that because was that because Vitter and Larry Craig are still senators?
Well, no, Larry Craig is not. Larry Craig is out.
That's right. He is now.
But partly, I guess, I don't think of prostitution in the same way. If he had, for example, if he used government money, absolutely he should be out. But he used his own money. I probably don't even think prostitution should be a crime. This may be something for another show. It should be regulated. I just think that it's something that's never going to go away. To me, it's like, I don't know, smoking or other sort of bad habits. I don't like it, but I don't believe in making a lot of this stuff illegal. So it's hard. But I think Spitzer was a very effective governor. No one attacked Wall Street and made Wall Street pay for its excesses like Elliot Spitzer, and I was very sorry to see him resign.
Interesting. You know, that was last hour. I'm going to save that. We'll get back with Tiger. What did you, Mark, think of the ad?
I didn't like the ad.
Why?
I mean, I'm with you on the fact that, he's a golfer and he should be judged on his golf, but the ad made me very uncomfortable. Maybe that was its point, but they used his dead father's voice, and he looked uncomfortable in the ad, and it's like, is this expiation? Is this a way for him to get rid of his guilt, is to have his dead father address him with tough questions? Call me naive. I'd rather just ignore it and move on, but that's just my own view.
Well, you know, I'm not an advertising person. I just know what I like or I don't like. I just thought it was good for them just to go at it, you know, just to, you know,
I guess.
Address it, you know, bada bing, bada boom. I always thought if I ever ran for office, I don't know if I ever will, but if I ever did run for office, that I would just stand up and go, look, I smoked pot in college. You know, I had sex before marriage, you know, and just like lay it out there.
You know, I remember when Hugh Grant had his own little thing with the prostitute, and he came on the
Tonight What was her name? Desiree or something? Said, the hooker on Sunset Boulevard? Desiree?
Right, right. And Jay Leno said, "What were you thinking?" And that was just the most hilarious thing. And he laughed, and Jay laughed, and the whole audience laughed. And it was a little uncomfortable, and then they moved on. You know.
Well, he wasn't thinking. That thing between his legs that Desiree was visiting was thinking. That's obviously the point there. Well, you know, but Hugh Grant, very different because an actor. You know, like Robert Downey gets caught like with parties or hookers or drugs in jail.
What's the difference, Leslie?
Yeah.
They're both not elected. What's the difference between an actor and a sports figure? I would hold them to the same standards.
Yeah, well, I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, I know he's Tiger and maybe because it's golf, but how many NBA, NFL players shoot somebody, cheat on their wife, or beat their girlfriend?
Well, yeah, and some of them have had guns. And, I mean, look, if you beat your girlfriend, if you rape somebody, that's serious, okay? That's something that I'm going to be offended for. But, you know, cheating, what can I say? It's half of all marriages end in divorce, and half of the ones that they stay married, at least according to the statistics, I don't know how to get these statistics, but they say that people cheat on their spouses. I just think it's too common a human flaw.
I hear you. Marky Mark, Chris, you want to weigh in on this, guys?
You know, I was a little, I guess, the fact that they used his father's voice after he died bothered me because whenever you use something of someone's after they died, I just always wonder, like, would they have wanted it used? Now, granted, that's his son, so, I mean, you can make the argument, like, he would have supported his son, they were so close, I doubt it would have been a problem, or it's his son, he can use his, you know, dad's voice if he wants to, but I just felt uncomfortable, and I guess part of it is, like, I'd love to know the motivation behind it. Did Tiger come up with it, or did he go along with it, and if he did...
We obviously know he had to go along with it. There's no way he would have done the ad.
No, what I was... You missed my point. I'm saying, did he come up with it, or if he did not, did he go along with what their idea was?
He's a celebrity. Celebrities don't do it. No, they don't. Celebrities don't wipe their own butt, Mark. I live in La La Land. Go ahead and finish. Wait, Mark Levine. We have to let Marky Mark Grimaldi finish his point, otherwise he gets very pouty. Go ahead.
That's right. You're damn right. what I was saying is, I guess the whole point of it is, you know, with him doing that, is he using, you know, the guilt that his father died as an excuse for what he did? And that bothers me for obvious reasons. You know, I lost my mom at a young age, and I don't want to accuse him of doing that, but that is one way for people to go from being enraged at you or mad at you and going, oh, you know what, his dad died, I feel bad for him, and it maybe takes away from some of the negatives of the actions that he did. And I'm very conflicted on that, because maybe that was not his goal in allowing them to use it. Maybe he really felt, wow, this is a great moment to show that, you know what, I'm human, I made a mistake, and what a better voice to use than the guy who taught me everything, my dad. If that's where he's coming from, then I respect it. But if it's the latter, then I'm really bothered by it. And obviously it's a 30-second commercial, so how am I supposed to be able to tell what's what?
And you're not. I mean, quite frankly, their intent is irrelevant. It's your perception of it.
I understand. I like I said, that's why I said I would like to know what their intent was, but I won't.
There's a guy that said named Mike on Facebook said, Leslie, it's very creative, unique, catchy. I love it. Does it sell Nike? Intimate. Every male wishes they could get advice from their dad, especially after their dad is gone. Great ad. And you know, I mean,
not me. I thought it was slick. I thought it was. I've got the impression, I have no idea how the ad came about, but I just got the impression it was some fancy pants marketing executive that thought he was a little too clever by half. And I don't want to hear about it. Maybe I'm rare here. I don't read the National Enquirer. I don't want to hear the uncomfortableness between Tiger and his dead dad about.
Yeah, but you have to remember, Mark, are you the typical Nike consumer? Because that you got to know your audience, and that's who they're playing to. No, that's who they're playing to. And if you think about it, Nike needs to, they need to justify having stood by him. Nike has a lot of kids that buy their products, or parents that buy the products for the kids. So I think having him as a child with his father talking to him not reprimanding him, but being like, almost like, I love you some, but why would you be so stupid? That's what I thought was brilliant. I'm Leslie Marshall, Mark Levine, you rock. Thank you for joining me tonight. And Marky, Mark, and Chris, so do you. America, we're back tomorrow night. Mark Levine, and then me right here on the Leslie Marshall Show.